Hey fans, just a quick reminder that the entire world of sports is in your pocket, just one tap away. With the ESPN app, one tap puts you courtside at the NBA playoffs and keeps you covered with the entire 30 for 30 library exclusively on ESPN Plus. We're talking sports anytime, anywhere, on your phone or the big screen. Hey, you can even be listening to this podcast on the app right now. So if you're looking for personalized alerts, scores, and legendary moments, there's only one thing you need, the ESPN app. Download the ESPN app now. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. It is Friday morning. It's 1 a.m. Eastern. Tim Bontemps is joining me from Boston. We just got finished covering the Game 6 between Bucks and Nets, as much as it was covering from our homes. That's where we are.
Absolutely nothing to talk about this week.
Joining us from Dallas, having to wait for us to finish, which is appropriate because I think we've had to wait for him to finish games before in this playoffs, is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
There's more people banned from the Mavericks club now than there used to be. You're not alone, McMahon.
Well, I would say one banned, one decided to pack up his stuff and leave before any banning could occur.
Yeah. So we've obviously had a huge week of NBA stuff. Did Durant have the 49 and 48 minutes? Was that Tuesday night?
Tuesday night.
And it didn't even dominate the news cycle for 12 hours.
Right. So Zach Lowe is all freaked out. And we did an emergency podcast. And, if you listen to that podcast, you could hear how excited Zach was. The information on that was obsolete. I mean, we would have had to have done an emergency to the emergency to the emergency. You're going to have a live stream.
And it was just maybe the best playoff performance I've ever seen. And
yeah, me too.
Within 12 hours.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So, all right, well, let's start because McMahon, we have you with the Mavericks. Let me just ask you real quick. Was this a disappointing season for the Mavericks?
Yes, but not drastically so. It was a turbulent season, but they didn't take the next step in terms of winning a playoff series, but they moved up a couple spots. They dug out of an early hole. They finished strong in the regular season, so on and so forth. But it was not an enjoyable season for the Mavericks, and there was always stuff. The stuff that's come out this week, it was lurking for sure.
So let me ask about that. So, Why is it such big news that a team that underachieved would change its general manager and coach? I'm not trying to be.
I think it's sort of like the team here in Boston, right? When you have two people who have been in the jobs as long as Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle have, like Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge were in the jobs here. When you have changes, it's a pretty monumental thing, whether it's justified or expected or unexpected or not, it makes a lot of waves.
Okay, I agree with you on that. I agree. When Danny Ainge steps aside after 20 years, it's a big deal. But is it controversial?
Well, look, this.
I mean, let me just remove the barrier here. Is this controversial because there was a story in The Athletic? And then Cuban called the story BS on the record, and then changes happened. If that story and Cuban hadn't said BS, hadn't created that level of drama,
yes, it would still be controversial. However, I will say this: I think that story influenced Donnie Nelson being fired, or mutually agreeing to part ways. The Rick thing, when you have a coach who's won a championship and was, by days third, the third longest tenured coach in the NBA, and he resigns, that's, and he's, you know, when he has a 22-year-old, you know, potential face of the franchise on his roster, yeah, that's going to get attention. That is always going to get a ton of attention. And, you know, and again, reading the tea leaves, there's a couple things there. Number one, I do think that Rick realized just how hot his seat would be to start next season. You know, I'm half kidding when I say I thought he'd be fired by Christmas, but he resigned by Father's Day instead. You know, there's no doubt that if he'd have gone into the season,
he's going to have another job. Was he going to have another job by Independence Day?
That's number two. Might.
I think it depends on what he wants to do, really, because he's the number one coach on the market, in my opinion.
Right. And so that's number two. I know Rick Carlisle very well. He's obviously an extremely intelligent man. He's a planner. He's a plotter. He's a pilot. Rick's plane
has a
parachute. If he wants to hit a button, it has a parachute. Rick ain't going up in the air without a parachute, is my point. He sure as hell ain't jumping off the plane unless he knows he's got a real sturdy parachute. So my point is that, and read the statement Rick gave to Woj. I'm looking forward, or I'm excited about the next chapter of my coaching career. He's got something lined up. And, you know, there's two destinations that are heavily rumored. The first just mentioned is the Bucks. And if Bud goes, you know, Rick moved in there, obviously would allow him to immediately take over a championship contending team. The second one, and I've heard this from like four different places, nobody directly involved and you know, nobody who is, you know, not Rick or anybody especially close to Rick, but there's a lot of smoke about a potential Rick Carlisle reunion with the Pacers.
Right. So let me say a few things about Indiana. One, I know that Kevin Pritchard, their general manager, came out at the end of the season and gave a press conference and made it sound like his future was in some sort of doubt there. That is no longer the case. He has been assured he will be there. I don't think he was really ever in danger. Herb Simon, who is the owner of the team, is extremely close to him. They have an extremely close relationship. Doesn't mean that they could make a change, but without going too far, I will say that Kevin Pritchard has been assured he's going to be there. The second thing is that the Pacers have made it known to people who are interested in that job that they are not going to hire not be absolute here. They're not planning to hire a first-time head coach. The first-time head coach maneuver did not go so well this last time around.
Hell, they might not even be hiring a first-time Pacers head coach.
Well, there you go. So, you know, I don't know how much longer Kevin Pritchard wants to be in that job. So, you know, maybe Carlisle could have some, you know, more influence if he would to go that direction. That has definitely been something. And so this is one of those things like there, okay. And I don't mean to be cagey or whatever, but sometimes we hear about things that happen in the league and we are stunned by them. They come out of left field. We have no idea. For example, and I mean, Bontemps, I think, can attest to this, but Brad Stevens becoming the,
nobody knew Brad Stevens was going to be the president of the team.
Right.
Right.
That was a thunderstorm.
There was some discussion during the season about Danny Ainge might move on in a year. He might move on after the season. That was not a surprise. Brad Stevens replacing him and leaving coaching, that was a surprise.
Okay. And so let me just say that for months there has been discussion in the league about Rick Carlisle and Donnie Nelson moving on or out of their roles or whatever. That the timing of it, the exact day that it happened and the way that it went down was a surprise.
Right.
But there's been discussion. And I will just say to you.
Well, and yeah, and there's a reason that I'm asking Cuban, you know, 30 minutes after their season ends, hey, is Rick coming back? Is Rick your coach next season?
You asked Rick, right?
Mac Engel with the Star Telegram asked Rick. Rick said you might want to ask Cuban.
Right. That was
funny. That gave me an easy end to ask Cuban.
Right. And like I'll just be honest here. Are there other coaches and executives that there are discussions about that may be out Yeah, there are. Does that mean that they actually will be? No, but you know, this is our job. So, you know, I was not surprised. See, this is the thing. I was not surprised at all that Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle were no longer with the Mavericks. I was, again, surprised at the circumstances. But I understand if you're just a fan that did catch you by surprise. So, I would assume, let me ask you two questions. McMahon. Carlisle has 2 years or had 2 years left on his contract. Is that right?
Yes.
So if somebody wants to hire Rick Carlisle, be it a team that has an opening right now or doesn't have an opening or what have you, would they have to negotiate a deal with the Mavericks? Would they hold him to that?
No, I don't think they could. The Mavericks announced that today that he stepped down. I'll put it like this. I think
Stan Van Gundy stepped down.
Yeah.
With the Heat back in the day, and before he got hired with the Magic had to send a draft pick down to Miami.
So. Okay, that's a fair point. I'll just say then I've been given no indications that would be the case.
Okay.
I do think, you know, obviously it could factor into how much money Cuban owes Carlisle. Although I don't even know that, given that, you know, Rick officially resigned. And look, I do think that I'm very confident in saying the plan was for Rick Carlisle to go into next season as the Mavericks coach, and he's the one who changed that plan.
They said that Stan Van Gundy resigned from – they didn't say resign. They said it was a mutual parting in New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stan was fired. He's going to get his money. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the what they say and what it real, you know, is real is different, you know. So, but because it was Rick saying I'm stepping down, you know, the Mavericks should, in theory, still retain his exclusivity. I mean, I wouldn't let him walk for free. I'd at least make him ask for it or negotiate something. But. All right, so that's one question I have. The second question I have is, this is a pretty damn important hire. I have no information otherwise. I'm not the least bit concerned that Luka is not going to sign the max extension. So I'm not like, I know that like there's this layer of, oh my God, what does this mean for Luka's future? I mean, Luka's future is going to be in Dallas, whether it's going to be a 10-year future, whether it's going to be
right. It's how long of a future. Right.
I'm not worried about him asking out right now or not signing. But what I will say is it's a pretty damn important two set of hires. So what do you think Cuban is thinking about this? Because I want to point something out. I don't think Cuban's ever hired a general manager.
Yeah.
And he's hired how many coaches?
He's hired two. He inherited Don Nelson.
Right. He hired Avery. Avery Bradley.
And he hired Avery. Johnson. And yeah, I don't think Avery Bradley is a candidate. I do expect the Rockets to turn down his team option, though. Okay. and then he hired Rick. And so this will be the third hire that he's made. And as far as the GM/president of basketball operations, inherited Nelly and then promoted his son, Donnie Nelson.
He's never hired a frontline executive. He never actually made the hire.
Yeah, I do joke that, well, Bob Vulgaris was kind of frontline. I guess he was firing from the back lines. I do joke that Donnie was the secretary of basketball operations too often because Cuban was the one calling the shots and Donnie was just making the calls. The Mavericks, Cuban has hired this firm, Sportsology, that, you know, is the consultant firm that helps in a lot of the NBA GM searches. Michael Finley, the former Mavericks All-Star, won a ring with the Spurs, has been the VP there for several years now. He's the internal candidate. Dirk is serving in an unofficial consulting role during this process. He's among Cuban's advisory committee. And then, you know, we'll see. The question is it going to be kind of status quo with Cuban calling all the shots, or is he going to be aggressive, hire somebody who is accomplished as a top basketball decision maker, and, you know, swallow his pride and kind of get out of the way? That's the question with that.
I don't think so.
Well, that's, you know, I think that's you have the majority opinion. And then he's saying that they will make that hire first, and then that guy will lead the coaching search. But there are three guys who I expect to get serious consideration as candidates. One is the internal candidate. That's Jamal Mosley, who Luka Doncic is a, you know, really, really fond of the guy, really likes Jamal Mosley. He's the assistant who works with Luke on a regular basis. He's the guy who, when Rick had a false COVID positive in New York, Mosley filled in. And after the game, I asked Luka, you know, what do you think about Mosley as a potential head coach? And Luka's response in part was, I think he can be the head coach for sure.
Right. We all knew then that Carlisle and Luka were a little sideways, and that Carlisle could be out in the short term. Again, none of us were like, oh, wait till the season ends. He's going to be gone or tomorrow.
Right.
But everybody saw that quote and we're like, well
and I will say this. English is like his, I don't know, fourth language, something like that. And so I wasn't sure if it was an intentional the, an accidental the, a Freudian the.
No, I think he knows what he was saying.
I'm not saying he didn't. Anyways, Luka.
Jamal's also a guy, just to be clear, who's got a bunch of interest from teams around the league, too. It's not like he's
interviewed
just Lucas guy.
He's interviewed with New York, has interviewed with the Pelicans. Players at every stop he's been at really like the guy. Has been the Mavs defensive coordinator for the last several years. Anyways, that's the internal candidate. Jason Kidd, his name will come up. Obviously, Dallas ties there. Whatever hard feelings from his agree to sign with the Mavericks. No, I'm going to New York departure have smoothed over the years. And then Terry Stotts, who was an assistant under Rick when they won the championship, obviously just had an overall successful run with the Blazers. Is a really good offensive mind without the abrasive personality that that Rick had. I think he's another guy who's another potential candidate.
Bontemps, this is to coach Luka Doncic. This is a real thing. I mean, this guy's, you know, the future of the NBA, and they have their challenges. I mean, this is what we're talking about. I mean, there's seven jobs open. I'd like to tell you that we spend time talking about the Orlando Magic opening, but I'm sorry, we're not gonna, because, you know, that's, you know, down the list. Even the Washington Wizards, who have two superstar players on their team, you know, it's not as important for the future of the league as Luka, and that's why this is pretty big. This is the number one job on the market right now, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's two good jobs right now. There's this job and the Boston job. And I would say Luka is a higher level guy than the two guys in Boston. So you'd rather have this Dallas job. But look, either way, however you want to weigh that, there's those two jobs. And then there's all the other jobs, whether it's New Orleans or Washington or Orlando or Portland, Indiana. Those jobs all have pretty serious flaws. Now, obviously, we just saw the Bucks win game 6. If the Bucks lose game 7 and Mike Budenholzer gets sent packing, that becomes the number one job, because you've got Giannis and you've got a team that should be title contender worthy right now, as opposed to the Mavs, who have, like you said, the future face of the league, arguably, but still have a lot of work to do. But to Tim's point, as he laid this thing out, like, the Mavericks have a lot of work to do. Like, yes, they're already on a bit of a time clock with Luka, you know, over the next few years. But even beyond that, like, this team hasn't won a playoff series, if I'm correct, since they won the title.
Correct.
Right? In 10 years.
Decade. Yep.
So no playoff series victories in a decade, and they make the big swing for Kristaps Porzingis. We've talked plenty about him on the pod. That hasn't exactly worked. They have a ton of cap space this summer that was supposed to be, hey, we've got Luka, we've got Porzingis, and we're going to go get another max guy. And there are no max guys. So
Not max, but there's
good players. There's good players available.
I mean, you know, I don't think Kawhi's leaving his helicopter rides from San Diego to LA, but yeah.
Let's just assume Kawhi's on in the market. Like, look, there's guys like Kyle Lowry who are available. There's really good players who are available. But we were thinking a couple of years ago, right? Giannis, Bradley Beal, Kawhi, like all these guys are going to be available this summer. And then it was like, hey, come play with Luka. We can have the next super team in Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. That ain't happening this summer. So the Mavericks, like, yes, they've got Luka. They're in a great spot. It's an attractive job. But between, you know, some of the front office stuff and kind of what that's going to look like and how much control Cuban's going to have over things and, you know, the roster not being of the caliber of these other teams atop the West, by the way, some of whom are very young and are going to keep getting better, it's not a sure thing you're going to walk in here and automatically be a championship contending team. Like, there's a lot of work that's got to be done to get this team to a level where you're going to have the infrastructure around Luka to be good enough to be, you know, the kind of team that you expect to be with a guy of his caliber on your squad.
But there is immediate pressure to contend because of Luka, right? And because of the timeline, Wendy, that you mentioned, where I do expect he signs a Supermax. I mean, he's, you know, he smiled and kind of said, you know what I'm thinking. I expect that to be a 5-year deal with a player option. If Donovan Mitchell gets a player option in Utah, Jason Tatum gets a player option in Boston, Luka Doncic will get a player option in Dallas. So, you know, last year of his rookie deal plus 4, I think, Wendy, like you said, you get to 3 years out from now, 2 guaranteed years left on that deal. That's the timeline when Harden was able to force his way out of Houston. And I'm not saying it comes to that, but I'm just saying, like, you have to approach things with an awareness that by that point, you need to be able to have Luka firmly believe, yes, we've got a situation where I have a chance to contend on a consistent basis for a long time.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
All right, well, obviously the Mavericks are going to be something to pay attention to. Luka gave a press conference on Thursday morning in, I believe he was in Slovenia.
Slovenia.
Were they in Slovenia yet?
He was in Slovenia for national team training.
They're going to Lithuania to have to try to qualify for the Olympics. He seemed to feel bad that Donnie Nelson got fired, but he certainly didn't weep openly on the dais. So. I think Luka is going to be a handful to deal with, because if you watch any
Mavericks, for opponents and coaches,
yes. If you watch any Mavericks game, he's cursing everybody out. So, you know, like, and look, guys, I've known Bob Vulgaris for 10 years. I don't talk to him regularly. I don't pretend to know what was going on. He is very confident in his,
he rubs people the wrong way.
He's a very smart, very confident guy who's not afraid to tell you how smart he is and how, you know, and he knows what's going on.
Right.
You know,
by the way,
he's made a lot of money gambling.
He also, he rubbed people the wrong way. And I think in some cases he was the fall guy, you know, Rick's decisions aren't popular. Well, hey, you know, this is what Bob suggested. This is what Bob, you know, Bob wanted. And it did get to be a perception with the players that Bob was dictating lineups, rotations. I would say there's some pretty clear proof that Rick wasn't, you know, just following orders. But there was that perception there. And then, you know, the Donnie, Bob Vulgaris thing, just, you know, they weren't working together. They were kind of working against each other.
Right. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, he may curse out Bob Vulgaris. He may curse out Donnie Nelson. I'm talking about Luca. He may curse out Rick Carlisle. Watch Luca play a game. Guy's cursing out everybody.
He's cursing out the refs. He's cursing out the refs on every possession.
For sure. He runs hot.
Just because Luca curses somebody out doesn't mean, you know, he wants them booted to the moon. And I think that's going to be key going forward. So we'll be watching that. There's a bunch of fires everywhere else.
Was that a cryptocurrency joke?
No, I don't know anything. Okay. I'm not in.
Vulgaris can tell you about that stuff too.
Yeah, he's very proud of that Cuban. As well. Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, I've lost half my stuff since I finally dipped my toes in there. Damn friggin' Bitcoin. No, it ain't Bitcoin. What is it? It's the Ethereum or some crap. Whatever.
This is not a financial podcast. We talk about the
because I'm broke.
There's a bunch of fires in the league right now, guys, and I really almost don't know where to turn, but I'm going to have to focus on the fire that's in Philadelphia, because, you know, so this podcast is going to go up on Friday morning. Philadelphia's season is on the line. That performance that Philly had on Wednesday night was what I call a demon performance. Because when bad things happen or when you're laying in bed, thinking about your failures in life, in other words, when the demons come, that could be a situation that you think of. And as is
typical, Seth Curry will be happy. He had 36.
He did.
Two more points than Josh Richardson scored in the whole series for the Mavericks. They were traded for each other. Go on.
And the guy who executed the trade got fired. Not, you know, who knows who had called for the trade, but the guy who executed it got fired. There's a lot of people taking blame. In Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is getting absolutely killed. Kyle Newbeck, who's a columnist for the Philly Voice, Bontemps, I want to get this right. I don't have him in front of me. He said, "Don't let Ben Simmons piss in on the court and tell you it's raining." Like that was how vicious the stories were coming out of that. Ben Simmons hasn't, you know, scored in the fourth quarter, hasn't scored a basket in the fourth quarter in the last two games. So people are blaming Ben Simmons. People are blaming who else are they blaming, Bontemps?
Doc's getting some of it.
I mean, listen, it's Philly, so everybody's taking incoming. But this is about Ben Simmons, and this is about the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid partnership. And tonight's game, you know, Friday night's game. Game 6 in Atlanta. This game is a referendum on the Ben Simmons-Joel Embiid partnership. And if they lose this game, it is just a matter of time until that partnership is over. I don't know if it's going to be in the next 6 weeks. I don't know if it's going to be in the next 6 months. I don't know if it's going to be the next 18 months. But at some point, this thing is going to end. Because the last 3 years, these guys have gotten in the playoffs, and they've had an excuse for why it's gone pear-shaped at the end. 3 years ago, they played the Celtics, first time in the playoffs, super young team, got lost in five games to a more experienced Celtics team that kind of showed them what it's like to play in the playoffs. Okay, natural thing. Young team has to move on up in the playoffs. The next year, they make the Jimmy Butler trade. They play a phenomenal series with the Toronto Raptors. Kawhi Leonard has this shot, you know, bounce 7,000 times on the rim, fall in. They lose in seven games. Can't really say anything wrong about that. Lose all-time classic series on a final shot, whatever.
Yeah, bad cry face.
Well, that's fine. It was still an all-time series. No shame in that. Last year, Ben Simmons hurts his knee, leaves the bubble. Brett Brown gets fired. Bring in Daryl Morey. Bring in Doc Rivers. Trade for Seth Curry. Trade for Danny Green. Optimize the roster around Ben and Joel. All season long, it's been we've got to put Ben and Joel in the best position to succeed. Got Doc Rivers saying Ben's the best defensive player in the league.
Got Doc Rivers spending the whole year fetting.
Whole year fetting Ben Simmons, telling anybody in Philly who said anything critical about Ben Simmons, they were crazy. This guy's great. How dare you criticize this guy? How dare you don't look at him as an all-star? You don't see all the things that he does. In the fourth quarter of game four, Ben Simmons took no shots from the field. In game five, he took no shots for the field in the fourth quarter. So
dying on the vine out there.
And they're dying on the vine. And yes, Joel Embiid is running out of gas in the second half of these games. He could be better down the stretch. Yes, Tobias Harris was bad in game five. Yes, Doc Rivers just has yet another unbelievable playoff collapse on his resume with this 26-point lead they lost, or 24-point lead they lost in game five. It's incredible how these things keep happening. However, this is about Ben Simmons. And if they can't beat the Hawks, who, by the way, Ben Simmons is the guy that I was told by many people this year should be Defensive Player of the Year. He probably should be able to slow down Trae Young, the guy who they were supposed to shut down in the series, who, by the way, every time he's on the bench, has a Leaning Tower of Pisa on his shoulder and is going out there and puts up 18 assists in game four to lead them from a come-behind victory. Then he had, I think it was 36-7 in game five to lead them back to win that game when they outscored 40-19 in the fourth quarter.
And by the way, Trae Young better be on the next 10 All-Star teams. Like we got to stop doing this. Is Trae Young? No, Trae Young is legit.
It was absolutely absurd. He didn't make the All-Star team this year. And look, at the end of the day, this is all on Ben Simmons as much as it's on the Sixers. And if they lose this game tomorrow and they lose this or tonight and they lose this series, he is going to be the fall guy. Because if you're choosing between Ben and Joel, I'm pretty sure we know who people are going to choose. It's not going to be the point guard with the shooting.
Look, and this is it's a bigger thing. As you said, all year long, they've been trying to, Doc's been trying to build Ben up so that because I do think he gets down on himself. He's admitted during this series that the missed free throws.
After game five, you said it was a mental thing at the foul.
Not good. I mean, I appreciate him being honest, but not good. But the situation here is just, the Hawks are out there with Lou Williams and Trae Young as the two guards that they're finishing the game with.
And Ben Simmons isn't attacking at all.
Thank you. I mean, look, I'm not saying, but those guys were getting it done. Lou was having a Lou game and Trae was, getting to the line 20 times. I mean,
those guys can get whatever they want done on offense,
but you've got to punish.
It shouldn't stop Ben Simmons from taking the ball and running down the lane. I mean, by the way, people try to compare this guy to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not saying Giannis is perfect. I'm not saying he always gets it done in the big moments. Giannis has had 30 and 10 every game, five out of six games right. In the series.
Yeah, he ain't flawless, but he is consistently pretty damn productive.
Giannis has had 30 and 10 five games in the series. Ben Simmons has scored more than 20 points in a playoff game four times in his playoff career.
Ben Simmons is more Draymond Green than he is Giannis. And look, Draymond is a hell of a player, but he is a complimentary star.
When Draymond was at his peak, he was shooting 30, like the year they won 73 games, he shot 37% from three and was the best defensive player in the league.
Game seven, 2016, he scored 32 points in game seven.
In game seven, the NBA Finals. That's right.
He scored 30 points once since. I think I looked it up. Maybe it was twice.
I mean, either way, it's like, this is on Ben Simmons. Like,
hey, the Rockets told you he wasn't a franchise centerpiece. I mean, come on.
Listen.
Wendy, I know you like giving the Rockets credit. They told you he's not a franchise centerpiece. When Daryl Morey really – hey, Daryl tried to trade him. He tried.
The bottom line here is if they lose this game, that it's just a matter of time until Daryl does something with Ben Simmons. And I don't know if the right trade is going to come along this summer. Maybe they'll just figure this out next year and they'll do some other move and they'll win. But – all the excuses will be gone if they.
Well, you know who I'm calling. The first call I'm making, trying to trade Ben Simmons. I'm calling Portland. I'm trying to get CJ McCollum.
Of course. Well, I mean,
you're trying to get. That's right. I'm trying to get Dame Lillard. I'll probably settle for CJ McCollum.
Ben for CJ makes is the thing to put you over the top. But look, whatever it is, like the bottom line is. For all the excuses that have been given in Philly for why things haven't worked and why this tandem is going to work, if they lose this series to the Hawks, those are all out the window because this was all set up for them. Their guys are healthy. I know Joel has the knee injury, but Joel's playing and playing great. and they don't have to play the Bucks or Nets till the conference finals.
Two or three quarters.
Well, listen, he still had 37 points in game five. That should be enough. They had two guys score in the second half of game five, even Seth Curry. Well,
two guys
had 25 points.
Two guys make baskets.
Two guys make baskets in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, that was wild.
I mean,
okay, let me say a few things here. One, that game was a freaking funeral down the stretch. Funeral. The crowd was completely out of it. There was nobody on the court who was willing to take up and fire the team up. The complete lack of leadership. I'm going to tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of watching the freaking Clippers coming down the stretch in that bubble last year.
Well, by the way, the Doc now has lost two 18-point leads in back-to-back games. Seems awfully familiar to games 5 and 6 last year against Denver when they lost two back-to-back double-digit leads.
He's lost two 3-1 series where he's been up 3-1, and I know this wasn't 3-1, but this would be really, really bad. Really, really, really bad. But I also want to say the Atlanta Hawks, almost no playoff experience. I know that they've got some guys that have some on their under their belt, but nothing as a team. They go in and play in the Garden like they own the joint. And I know the Knicks didn't play well, and I know that they were an inexperienced team too, but they go in there and just completely were not afraid at all.
Well, to McMahon's point earlier, who has raised their level in this playoffs in terms of people's opinion on around the league more than Trae
Young? I don't remember.
I think the answer is nobody.
I don't remember a player who has raised his level in his first playoff time like Trae has. I don't remember one in my time covering the league in 20 years.
Yeah, I'd have to think long and hard. There's not one who just pops to mind.
Behind and on the road, the resiliency that they have and that they have shown. And like, here's the thing. I know that they lost DeAndre Hunter and he's, you know, he's out. He got injured. But like, take a look around, guys. They're the healthiest team. Now, Milwaukee's.
Well, the healthiest team is Milwaukee. They're the healthiest team. Now, they might not be the healthiest team in other respects, but
they lost
a
starter too, though.
Milwaukee lost a starter. But I will say this, if you're Milwaukee, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but you are going, our stars are healthy. Why can't we still win it?
Yeah.
Frankly. But Atlanta.
I mean, Phoenix is the healthiest if CP3 gets a couple negative tests.
Right. And when he does, let me know.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
But, you know, Atlanta, it's a pretty damn big game for them, game 6, because. I mean, I'm not going to count them out, especially the way Philly has played. But, you know, I don't think you want to try to win a game 7. But
I'm glad you've decided it's a big game for Atlanta to get to the conference finals by winning at home in game 6.
I know. I'm just saying.
As long as they're down 15 to 20, 25, maybe by at halftime, I like their
team.
Got them right where they want.
Guys, 10 days ago, nobody was touching the Nets. Okay, 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Now. Atlanta can look themselves in the mirror and say, we could be in the finals.
And look at that. Atlanta could win the title. Why couldn't they win the title at this point? Look at where we're sitting right now. I mean, you've got injuries everywhere. Things are a mess. I mean, if they get to the conference finals, who's to say they can't pull this off?
Listen, I pick Knicks in 6, so I'm not gonna I'm gonna just pass on expressing my doubts.
All right. Well, okay. Sitting here, you know, I don't do predictions, but sitting here as we are right now, 1:31 a.m. Eastern on Friday morning. If you had to pick a team to win the freaking thing, who you picking?
Phoenix.
I kind of want to say Milwaukee, but I don't. I have no idea. I mean, I guess Phoenix. I think Phoenix because they're the only team in the conference finals.
Right.
Like, yeah. Literally the only one.
That's as good a reason as any.
I mean, I said before this series that I thought that whoever won Nets Bucks would win the championship. I thought I would see a heck of a lot more of an impressive performance by either side. The Nets have obviously been decimated by injuries. The Bucks have had have all sorts of issues beyond injuries, but yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, this. I was on the phone with I was on the phone with an executive earlier. We were kind of going through this. He asked me the same question, pick your favorite to win. And I ended up settling on Phoenix. And he said, I think what my man said before, I don't think we've ever had a more wide open playoffs.
But not in a good way, but not satisfying.
Well, I'm not saying good or bad. I mean, it's just interesting. Like, as of right now, I don't think anybody could feel great picking any team and saying, I know they're going to win. Like, you just – in that when have we ever been able to say in the NBA with Game 7 of the conference finals?
I'm going to say this. Milwaukee should – in my view, Milwaukee had a chance to win 5 of the 6 games in this series. It should be – it could be 5-1 right now because
– Yeah, no question.
The only game that they've completely not been in is Game 2. And they've had,
technically, it could not be 5-1, but go
thank
on.
Thank you. I'm well aware. But
man, here for the crypto and the math.
But
they're related.
You know, Harden and Kyrie exiting games, the huge momentum and health advantage to Milwaukee every single game in this series.
Yep.
And the Durant game where he goes for 49 in 48 minutes. And by the way, Jeff Green has arguably the best game of his career.
I mean, I just think the best game. Okay. I mean, he went 7 for 8 from three, hit his first 7 okay. threes at 27 points.
And it's still a game. It's still a game in the final 30 seconds.
And it should have been tied with 50 seconds to go if Giannis catches a pass for a dunk.
Okay. So my point is, it took all of that to beat Milwaukee, you know, on the road. So, like, I mean, look, Durant could score 57 on Saturday.
I think if you're looking at it objectively, to your point, I think the Bucks should expect to win this game. Like, if you're just looking at it from a neutral perspective, like, maybe James Harden continues to get way better. I thought he was a lot better today.
I know.
And he was in Game 5.
That's what I'm saying. The Bucks should I know that they're probably feeling good about themselves right now, but I would be pretty upset that I'm not sitting there with my feet on ice waiting for Atlanta and Philly to figure this out, yeah, considering everything that's happened. And I'm going to say out west, Donovan Mitchell's getting worse health-wise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no doctor, but I watch basketball games. And a guy who's a recent slam dunk champion who can't jump, I think his ankle's bothering him. Okay. Plus, the way he cussed a lot in his post-game press conference and admitted that it was really a problem.
All right.
And now he's questionable.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I can't see him not playing. It's an elimination game, but yeah. I don't think he's right. And Mike Conley admitted kind of low key that he had a setback to his setback. Mm-hmm. He already had a setback to get the hamstring again. And then he sort of slipped in there that he had a setback to his setback.
Mm.
So, what to do about the Clippers?
But the Clippers don't have Kawhi.
I know.
This playoffs is just a mass unit across the board.
And then here's
who's going to be left standing.
Okay, so you wrote about this, Bontemps. So for Chris Paul, even though there's vaccinations and there's been some changes and some rollbacks, if you test positive for COVID, the rules still are the rules. Back-to-back negative tests or 10 days after the cessation of symptoms. Am I correct in saying that?
It's 10 days if no symptoms or 10 days after symptoms. And then there's a day or two of warm-up plus a cardiac screen.
Okay.
So, I mean, if the rules stay the same, which I don't think they've changed, that would mean that, again, depending on what day he tested positive officially, et cetera, I mean, you're talking about,
I believe he tested positive Monday.
Well, whatever day it was, you're talking the middle of next week.
Okay.
Which would mean a couple games of the series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Minimum.
So, and by the way, has anybody, do you know, I mean, I'm sure there has been, but do you know of anybody who actually got the 2 negative tests and didn't have to wait that 10 days?
I don't, I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't, right. I don't, like, I don't know
like,
that.
Like I know that we don't know because this is a breakthrough infection post-vaccination and you hope that he doesn't have symptoms and he's fine, but it's almost everybody's had to go the 10 to 12 days, almost everybody. Right. So
as far as I'm aware.
So let's just game it out. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, it's 10 days and Monday was the first day. Let's say the Clippers win on Friday night and in game one is Sunday.
Then maybe he could play in game three, which would be next Thursday.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
Right. So that ain't great. Although they're either going to get a limping Jazz team that had to play seven, or they're going to get Kawhi-less Clippers, because Kawhi's got a sprained ACL. He's not coming back for the conference finals.
Right.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Again, I'll go back to who's in the best.
Well, plus, listen, I'm with Phoenix still as a longtime campaign believer, the campaign manager. I am fully on the Phoenix bandwagon.
Phoenix
Suns and four. Suns and four. If you don't like it, I will grab you by your neck and uppercut you about six times. Suns and four.
We've seen in these playoffs that the last thing you should do is assume you have it figured out. But certainly the Suns are sitting pretty. I mean, to get a week off, even with this Chris news, to get a week off at this point, with two wounded teams coming in, whoever they get out of the series, and getting no days off, by the way, they're going to play 2 days after the series is done, like you said, either Sunday or Tuesday. It's not like there's going to be some sort of a break, And then in the East again, you've got Joel with a messed up meniscus and Danny Green out. You've got Trae Young with a messed up shoulder. You've got Dante DiVincenzo is even out for the Bucks. Like, they're all injured too. It's not like everybody's got issues.
Yeah,
and the Nets have Durant and these guys in the walking zombies. Right.
If this was a movie, if this was a movie right now, we would see Trae Young, it'd be like a montage. Trae Young is like staring at film in his house. Joel Embiid is in his hotel room in Atlanta with his ice wrapped with his knees wrapped in ice. Ben Simmons is listening to motivational tapes. Donovan Mitchell is getting stim treatment throughout the night on his ankle. Mike Conley is, on some rack trying to stretch out his hamstring. Kawhi Leonard is staring at the wall, whatever. And, Paul George is, do some mantra to keep playoff P. And then you see the Suns and Devin Booker is just sleeping in his bed very comfortably. You'd think that there is something to that, but I would say
Devin Booker's taking one of those low riders for a spin.
he's
got some cool rides.
You guys used to get Low Rider magazine, didn't you?
No.
Really?
I've heard of Low Rider magazine, but I did not get it.
It's no longer published.
We skipped past it a little bit, obviously you guys talked about it after game five, but I just got to say, as a basketball fan, it is very great to see 2 years after last week, two years ago last week, Windhorse and I were in Toronto for that game five when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles, and to see Kevin Durant playing like this in the playoffs and playing 48 minutes and having 49 points. And even tonight, like, He had 32 points on 30 shots, but every time he shoots, I expect him to make it. And he made just some completely insane shots. It is awesome as a basketball fan to see this guy back playing like this again.
Well, it is awesome.
Absolutely devastating to watch score.
Yeah, the 48 minutes was kind of cringy. But boy, the performance. He not only scored 49 in that game, and it's a shame he missed the free throw. He should have had 50. But what did he grab? 17 rebounds,
10 assists.
He was a dominant defensive presence. Like, I really don't know that I've ever seen a better all-around playoff performance.
And
it was unbelievable.
And so in tonight's game, he scored 32. He went 15 of 30, which felt like a bad game, but really was still 50% pretty good. And I'd like to say, well, the Nets knew they didn't have it tonight, and so they packed it in and they saved it. But guess what? He and Harden still played 40. And that's the thing
That Mike D'Antoni influence, baby.
That's the thing I'm worried about with Embiid, really, at this point, is that, he's playing every other day. And the guy was dragging his leg up and down the court in game 4. He comes back for game 5 and is great. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. But he ran out of gas. And I'm wondering, how is Embiid handling this every other day going forward here?
Dude, Clint Capella put him on that rope-a-dope defense. Let him punch himself out in the first few rounds.
Clint Capella, another guy who's had a coming out party in the playoffs with his comments in the media. I mean, saying after game 4, Embiid gets tired. So just let him tire himself out.
Capella popped off some when he was in Houston.
I'm not saying he hasn't done it in the past, but he's certainly going out of his way to do it right now. And like you said, I mean, he come out in game 5 and the same thing happened.
But
I mean, it's been funny to see.
It's also an insult to Ben Simmons too, because they're saying that our goal is
to
tire Embiid out because we know he doesn't have support.
It's all about Ben Simmons.
No, it's an insult to Seth Curry, their number 2 offensive option.
Well, I covered them the last round, and after Joel went down, they won the series. They finished off the series going to Seth Curry as ball handler. And I the other night when they lost game was it game 4? What game did they lost when Joel blew the layup at the end? Was that game four?
Yeah, the 0-for-12 second half.
They ran up. Doc called the play for Joel, and he ends up getting a point blank layup. And he probably runs the play for Joel 100 times in a row, because Joel probably makes it 90 times, even if he's 0-for-11. But I said to Bontemps, I go, I might, if I were them, I might have gone to a Seth Curry, Tobias Harris pick and roll.
And you were insane.
I know, but I wasn't,
because Joel Embiid was wide open at the rim for a layup. But I wasn't, he missed it.
I wasn't seriously saying that, but I actually think that Seth Curry is a good option for them.
Right.
Sure. Seth played great for them, but again, they got a wide open layup at the rim.
But here's the thing. He didn't only miss it. He missed the entire rim.
It was unbelievable.
I'm not.
He missed a 1-foot shot by 3 feet. That is difficult.
It was wild. It was wild. I mean, I was talking to the executive earlier. We were talking about this Philly series, and they said, this keeps happening to Doc Rivers teams. And I watch these games and I don't really think Doc's doing anything that wrong in them. And then all of a sudden we're in the same situation again. And it's unbelievable that this keeps happening to his teams. Right. And it's just change the teams, change the players, same result. It's wild.
Before we wrap on this, I really want to spend a little bit of time on Clippers Utah. McMahon, you're covering that series. I have thrown up my hands on the Clippers. They're absolutely confounding to me. They're absolutely confounding to me. You guys have listened to this podcast. You know how I felt about their tanking at the end of the year. I thought it was completely classless. Yet
got Poku 1 second team all rookie vote though.
Poku's playing on the Serbian national team this summer. Watch out. They don't need Jokic.
Okay.
I'm joking. they have two character wins in these playoffs that are as impressive as you'll see. The game six in Dallas, which I know was a Kawhi game, but their whole team, that was a character win.
Honestly, I thought game three in Dallas, when they're down 30-11,
yeah, agreed.
When they're down 2-0 in the series, okay. And then they get back in.
They were down. They were down 2-0 in both series, and they were a combined 7-1 after going down 2-0 in the two series.
I'm being serious here. How the hell? So, and then they have this game in Utah where not only do they lose Kawhi and you know, it's a significant injury, guys. I mean, it's an ACL injury.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's a gut punch because, you know, you've won two games in a row. You feel good about your chances. You lose your star. And they come out and the Jazz hit 10 three-pointers on them in the first quarter.
And are only up one at the end of the quarter.
Exactly. And so I'm saying, like, talk about character. And I mean, I know Paul George played great, but their whole team. So,
well, listen, you knew this from his World Series heroics back in the 70s, but Reggie Jackson is absolutely proving to be a cojones factor force in this postseason. He has hit so many big shots. Marcus Morris Sr., he's going to mix in the occasional 1-for-10, but he's hit a bunch of big shots. They've had role players that have had huge games, and you know that goes a long way.
How am I supposed to evaluate this team? I now look at them and go, look at this. Look at what they've done. I don't know what to. I seriously, I'm at a loss for what they're doing. I don't like the Jazz's health right now.
No, Donovan at best.
Again, another huge prediction when we've been talking about how Donovan Mitchell can't jump.
Yeah, Donovan is
how can we like anybody's health right now? Everybody's hurt everywhere.
But you know, there's no excuses though. The Jazz, even with a loaded Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley in street clothes, like no Kawhi on your home court, they had there's no sympathy there. And look, Paul George, I think, has earned a lot of heat. Right.
Sure.
With his performance and with some of his comments. But dude, all the pressure was on Paul George going into that game.
And that was a hell of a performance.
He was spectacular on both ends.
He was fantastic. Everything you could ask for in game five. Every single thing.
I mean, so now what? So now what's going to happen? I don't know.
Well, the Clippers should be favored to win the series. They should win game six. They should. Doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
But they should.
I know, man. I know. Reggie Jackson shooting, what'd you tell me, Bontemps, 57% in this series?
Well, that has been the story of that series, is Reggie Jackson, I have joked about, if he's your third most important player, you're in trouble. He has been just absolutely lights out for them in both the Dow series and this series.
Rajon Rondo.
I mean, I'm looking it up. That's why I'm pausing a little bit.
Rondo
he's shooting 57
in this series.
He's shooting 57.
Rondo got on the floor last night.
I know, but after he was deactivated.
Yes.
Reggie Jackson is scoring 16 points a game. He's shooting 57% from the field, and he's shooting 15-for-29 from three.
Good God. I mean, by the way, this is a guy that like nobody wanted.
Yeah. Minimum.
The
Pistons, Nick Batum, a guy nobody wanted. He's had some really good
lead the league
games.
In buyouts. Nobody buys out people like the Pistons. Go all the way back to Josh Smith, Reggie Jackson.
Are they still paying Josh Smith?
No, I think it's up this year. I think the last checks have been administered, but they're going to be paying Blake Griffin for a while. and bought out from the Pistons. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him after he did have some playoff moments with the Thunder back in the day. It was one of the reasons why the Pistons went and got him, because they thought he was an undervalued player because he's playing behind Russ. He bailed out their bacon in a series against the Grizzlies.
Yes.
By the way, though,
But
this is a guy, forget nobody wanted him before he got to the Clippers. Do you know how many points he scored in that 7-game series against the Nuggets last year?
Well, I have it right here.
I mean,
he scored 3 points in the series.
And they re-signed him. And they re-signed him like in mid-December when he had no other – I mean, I don't know. I haven't researched it, but I can't imagine he had many other options. So
they signed him on December 1st, start of training camp.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm saying it wasn't like first day of free agency, he was, you know, batting away calls.
Yep.
You know, I will say this about Ty Lue. You know, say what you will about Doc Rivers, and his, you know, he's got a bit of a track record where his team sort of erode. Say whatever you want about Ty Lue.
His teams get better as they go along.
His team, you know, the Cavs. Yeah. The Cavs were, I mean, okay, they won the finals 3-1, down 3-1. Everybody remembers that. But trust me, there were other series where they were in trouble, man. And Ty Lue, I believe, in fact, I know, is 3-0 as a head coach in Game 7. And
yep.
Hey, give Ty Lue 2 games of a series to figure things out. I don't give a damn if he loses them both. He's gonna figure them out.
I mean, it helps to have LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. I agree. That'll make anybody look good. But
he didn't have Kawhi that last night.
And the game plan that he has developed on the Jazz, on Donovan, pulling Gobert out of the paint, trapping, you know, Donovan, forcing him, it's working.
Yeah, and obviously it helps that Donovan's ankle has gotten progressively worse. They had no answers for him early in the series.
And obviously no Conley hurts.
And then, yes, and then not having Conley as another playmaker, as a shooter, you know, as another guy who, honestly, as their best pick-and-roll guy. Yeah, so that all is a factor, but so is Ty Lue's game planning, and so is Ty Lue's, you know, kind of figuring out what the rotation is that works against these guys.
Well, the last thing I'm going to say before we go to bed is this. Just as a reminder of how fragile the NBA is. Before yesterday, it's like 2 days ago now, but before the Jazz and Clippers played Game 5 in Utah, and before the Jazz fans got to see that their star player was dragging his leg a little bit, they were looking at Kawhi Leonard is out, and Chris Paul is out.
Yeah.
And if you can win 2 games in 3 days, you may be able to play the conference finals without Chris Paul for 2 or 3 games. I mean, if there's been a better blood in the water situation for the Utah Jazz in their history, I'll listen to it. Because back when they had
– For sure.
Back when they,
well, I would say when that pizza was delivered to Jordan's hotel room, boy, they had him.
Right. But it was still Jordan on the other side. And
the other side of the Nevada border? Oh, the other side of the hotel door. I'm sorry.
Now, all of a sudden, they – what is that? What's that town west, Wendover, you can get to from Salt Lake? All of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. We're in big trouble. And that's just – that's this playoffs. Little fire.
Well, speaking of that, before – like, what do we think is going to happen in this game set? On Saturday, before we go,
I ain't betting against Kevin Durant.
I agree. I mean, I mean, how could I mean? Like, on one hand, I think the Bucks should have won 5 of the 6 games. On the other hand, they haven't won 5 of the 6 games, and the other team's got Durant and Harden looked better tonight. Harden moved better, looked better. He was lighter on his feet. And
Harden's got a long track record of really showing up when his team's elimination.
Well, you know, he had 16 points tonight, but he could very easily have 24.
I will say this. Like, I know his numbers weren't pretty in that KD-a-palooza game. But, man, Harden played 46 minutes on one leg, couldn't move, couldn't shoot, and still contributed to a win. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, listen, it was impressive he was out there at all. It was incredible. And look, like, it was incredible.
Harden, I said in the story that he was wearing $100 worth of kinesio tape on his leg. I mean, I've never seen so much tape on a guy's leg. I mean, it was amazing he did that. But I have
to waving off the double team, saying Giannis can't post me up. Go ahead, shoot that ugly little fadeaway.
Hey, he was right too. I mean, look. At this point, we're talking about the Nets playing every other day. These guys playing 45, 46. You know, Durant's case of game five, 48 minutes. You want to say that the much healthier Bucks team should win, but like you said, yeah, it's hard. It's just how can you bet against Durant?
The Bucks
finding a way to figure this out.
The Bucks stars are healthy. And by the way, tonight, yeah, Giannis had 30, Middleton had 38, that's 68. Drew Holiday had 21. I think they scored as many points as the Nets did.
They had 89 points and the Nets had 89.
Okay, so their stars are healthy.
He's Kevin Durant. You know who he is. He's Kevin Durant.
And if you're Atlanta, you're saying, what if Durant is gone and the Nets are gone and we can get one more win? Man. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We could go on, but we're not. Thanks to Jackson for staying up late. We'll talk to you next week, and who the hell knows we'll be talking about.
Adios, amigos.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.